magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Wednesday, January 7th, 2014. Happy New Year, Jason.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone, as we're experiencing the first Wednesday into this new year. And my co-host, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Shiffield, joins me for the first time in this new year. So glad to have you back and glad to see that you're pretty fit and ready to go. I'm just about over my cold. Thank you, God, for I've been doing a lot of Dayquil lately. What's that? Was it an Everybody Loves Raymond we laughed about where that's the Dayquil talking or something?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic line. But
I don't like the Dayquil because it doesn't put you to sleep.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the NyQuil. I was talking to somebody the other day because I was not feeling good last week, and I just needed to go to sleep. I got in this really bad cycle where I wasn't feeling good, so I was sleeping later than normal. So one day I slept until like 12:30. And I'm just going to tell you, nothing good happens if you wake up at 12:30. You wake up and you go downstairs and you're expecting coffee and breakfast, and everyone's eating lunch.
Yeah.
And then when you expect lunch, everybody's eating dinner. And then at midnight you're going, boy, I'm hungry. Nothing good is happening. But I got in this cycle because of that where I could not sleep. So one night I just said, I just got to go to sleep at a decent hour. So I took some NyQuil. And I'm not a drinker. I don't drink. We have a couple glasses of wine throughout the entire year. I mean, you know, it's something special if we'll have a glass of red wine or something like that, but we don't drink. And so whatever the alcohol ingredient in NyQuil.
Now, did you do the Shiffo gulp?
Oh, I don't use the cup. The cup is a waste. So I took like two good gulps. And then, you know, within like 40, this is what happens. It's so funny. And it's always the same. So I take it, you know, and my nose starts to get a little numb. Like it gets a little numb. And then that's when I know I'm going to go to sleep soon. Like I know that it's working. So if I take that at like, I think that night I took it at like 11:30 or 12 at night. And so, you know, about 12:30, the nose gets a little numb. And then I go to sleep. I did not wake up until 1:30 the next day.
Wow.
And then I could not wake up until like 8 that night. I just kind of sat at the table just looking at the wall like, what time is it?
In a stupor.
Yeah, seriously, and every time that happens, I just think, is this hungover? Is this what hungover is like? You know, and Tasha just walks by and she just giggles at me. She's like, you know, what's wrong with Dad? Don't worry, he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on Monday's broadcast, I had already worked through four different flavors of those cough drops. And then Holly, the other day, we went to Sam's Club, and I was hoping when she went in, I said, hey, get a master pack, but make sure it's a variety, because I don't want to have one of those Sam's Club size mentholatum or whatever for like the next year. But I only had one flavor, so I've been stuck on those for the last few days. But I think we're getting better. The voice and everything's starting to come back. So thank you, God, for medicines and healing.
Practical grace. I mean, the way God created things I told Tasha the other day, I said, I just thank God that while I'm sick, like there is whole seasons of shows to watch, like on DVD. We went to, I love action kind of stuff. And we went to Best Buy before Christmas. No, it was right after Christmas. And they had like whole seasons of shows for like $6. So it was like, you know, 8 CDs, 20, you know, 8 hours of viewing program for like $6, which is the wrong idea. You know, because then you're like, oh, I got it. I might as well watch it.
And it's so cheap. It's a good deal. I got to invest the time.
It is. It is. It really is. And then you're thinking like, do I really need to have this around? But I did. So. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of funny because after Sunday's sermon message that you gave, I gave up TV. And I was telling you before this program, it's like the other night, it's 8 o'clock and the radio work was all done. I had attended to all the household chores or the other things. We had Esther in bed. It's like, what are we going to do with all this time? I mean, suddenly I had 3 or 4 additional hours on my hands. So we logged on to this special website where there's these because
Break
of
and
a
watch
membership.
TV.
Well, yeah. Holly said, is this authorized? But it was Bible teachings.
Oh.
And that's usually authors.
We can watch Bible TV.
Yeah. So I said, no, this qualifies. So we watched like 3 sessions of this one book by an author. Mm. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about a little today, because on Monday I shared a little of your sermon message and praying and fasting and what does it mean to fast, and fasting doesn't always just involve food, and I talked a little about that. But then I had a special message by Ann Graham Lotz, where she takes the song Give Me Jesus by Fernando Ortega and weaves into all the trials and tribulations and heartaches and things going on in her life and the importance of leaning into Jesus. And that was part of your message on Sunday is, are we going to allow Christ to be our all in this new year? And he's already accomplished and overcome everything. So through him, through his strength, we can find achievement or growth or progress because of what he's already done, not because we can do it on our own. And so that was kind of on Monday. And then on Tuesday, yesterday, I played another Ann Graham Lotz message from the National Day of Prayer event where she spoke on we're living in the end times and judgment is coming and Christ's return. And as a way of ushering into people's minds, hey, this is a new year, but Christ can return at any time. And let's be prepared and be grounded. But with the giving up something and replacing that same time with a devotion or a seeking out of the Lord during that period of time that you'd spend in a hobby or an activity or something that you enjoy and give up that time and spend it with the Lord. And so the other night I was finding like, gosh, we have all sorts of time. So it's kind of funny how it does free you up. And then if you use it.
Yeah, but you don't know what to do with it sometimes. It's just really funny when you give something up, how much you realize your dependence upon it or even your just aversion to it. I mean, I think I joked in Sunday morning's message, but it is true. It does happen. I could really care less if you have candy in a dish in your house. You know, like, I won't go in your house and go, oh, candy in a dish, can I have some? I mean, I won't do that. But if I'm, like, trying to abstain from eating that day or whatever, my hand just naturally will, like, go for it. I mean, I'm just like, no other time am I, like, drawn to M&Ms that way. But it'll be like, oh, M&Ms. You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what am I doing? Stop. And so I think that it just really, it reveals our aversion to things or even maybe even our dependence upon things. I think I said in Sunday's message that, you know, we do this crazy thing. And I say crazy, I want to be generous to people because for some people it has had some very positive outcomes for them. But largely, I mean, resolutions largely, people make them on the 1st of January. The largest section of percentage of the population falls off by the 8th day. I mean, 8 days in, they realize, I don't really want to be that thin. I don't really want to, you know, save money.
But it's not worth the cost.
It's just not. It definitely, it's not worth what it's going to cost them, what they have to give up in order to get to that. A friend of mine who's kind of a motivational guy, motivational speaker guy, he says, the why's not big enough. He says your why has to be bigger than everything that'll come up against it, or else you won't really want to do it. Life change won't happen.
Now explain the why.
Well, the why would be what's your reason for doing it? And so for him, he's a motivational speaker. So he'd say, you know, your desire to lose weight has to be bigger than your desire to eat. Your desire to have a great marriage has to be bigger than your desire to be selfish in your own self. And we would just say that whatever your why is, it has to overshadow and be bigger because the other things are going to keep pounding against it. It's like this relentless assault by an enemy force. It keeps bashing against that, hoping it can break your why down. So your why has to be really resolute. The problem I have with resolutions is that ultimately everything that you would resolve to do, Christ has already resolved at the cross. I mean, the root of it. Now, Christ didn't go to the cross and go like, this is for skinny, you know, weight loss. And I mean, he didn't do that, but he did the underlying issues which cause us oftentimes to overeat, you know, our inability to deal with anxiety, our inability to control our emotions. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the eating that we do because it makes us feel good. I mean, I'll be honest, I probably don't need to eat as much food as I eat, but I like the way food tastes. And, you know, especially if you've got some things laid out that I've never had before that look safe. I mean, I want to taste them and see what they taste like.
Or we just find comfort in that.
Sure. Yeah. And then there is a certain degree of comfort. You know, maybe you get bad news and the first thing you think is, gosh, I just need to have something to eat real quick. Yeah. You know, I mean, just something to comfort us. And that's not bad. But listen, all the things that ultimately drive that are not resolutions that you can fix on your own. They're things that were resolved at the cross. And so you have to go to Christ to resolve those things in order to see a resolution to that problem. Look at all the things that you may have resolved to do this year. If you could have done them, you already would have done them. I'm really kind of black and white on that point. If you could have done it, you already would have done it. I mean, that's just it. If I wanted to be, you know, 140 pounds, I'd be 140 pounds because my why would be big enough and I would push through that and I would be resolved to attain that. But I can't do that in my own strength. Some of the things that we face and come up against, they really do show some of our weaknesses, some of the places where we're weak. And so the answer is not to make more New Year's resolutions. The answer is not to read more self-help books. The answer is to lean into the Lord and to find your delight in Him. Because if you delight in the Lord, that will drive you towards Him. And because it drives you towards Him, it'll drive you towards wholeness. It'll drive you towards what He intends for us. I mean, just think, we just came out of Christmas time where we said that this is the Prince of Peace. He comes with peace and good news, which is for all men with whom God is pleased. And so the access to that peace, which will make you in the midst of even the worst situations go, you know what? The Lord is my comfort here, not that cake. Or the Lord is my comfort here, not this other thing. You know, it'll allow you at night to go, you know what, the Lord is my comfort. I can sit here in silence and maybe read His word, read another book. I don't have to have the TV on mindlessly trolling through, you know, because let's be honest, after 10, we don't have regular TV. Like, we don't do, like, network TV. Mm-hmm. But we had for a while because we were doing the Super Bowl party. And so we had, like, somebody made us, they fashioned us kind of this backyard antenna so we could get the regular TV in. So we watched for a few nights, Tasha and I, network TV. And I said to Tasha, I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think anything good happens after 10 o'clock on TV. Yeah. I mean, it just seems to go like downhill really fast. And so, you know, we're turning on TV when we could have quietness and stillness. And so we're turning it on at probably the worst and most wicked and maybe immoral hours that we can have that. And I'm not trying to be a legalist or a fundamentalist who's no fun. I'm just telling you what I really think is the truth, because there's somebody out there in programming land. And let's be honest, when TV's on, maybe I'm rabbit trailing too much. When TV's on during the day and your kids are around to watch it, that's when they actually think they're being tame. And I don't know if you've watched some of that stuff, but it's not meant for kids to watch. And so about 10 o'clock at night, when those who run the TV networks believe that they can suddenly, like, open the floodgates because your kids are in bed, it's off the rails.
Well, yeah, even, I forget, we were at Applebee's restaurant, and Esther's looking up at the TV, and it's the Family Guy, and Holly's, like, kind of clueless. I said, Holly, that's like adult humor. I mean, it's over the top. And Esther's, like, looking at seeing these kind of the dog that's talking and kind of some of the fun characters. And I'm like, no, that's very adult.
Yeah, yeah. They said,
we don't want her watching that.
I don't know a lot about it, but somebody did send me a video, because the guy who makes that show, he's not a Christian. He's irreligious. He dislikes and finds religion in any form detestable. And he has a running joke through that where I guess one of the characters gets on his knees and Jesus appears and they knock him over. And so they keep having him trip and do all this stuff. So, yeah, that's another rabbit trail. So, yeah, so if you could resolve to do it, you'd have done it. But you didn't. You can't, so you won't, so you don't. So what you need to do is we need to give these things over to Jesus. We need to delight in Him. And I had a conversation with somebody after church who came, I think it was like their first, second, third time. They came, I think, Christmas Eve, too. I give him a shout-out, but we're not going to do radio shout-outs. but he knows who he is. But we had a conversation after church, which is really interesting, because when you look at the text about Simeon and Anna, and so, you know, Mary and Joseph, they come to the temple, and Simeon and Anna are there, and, you know, first of all, they come and they're obeying Luke says five times, the law of Moses in that passage. So Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus, who was born under the law, Galatians 4:4, at the fullness of time. They're bringing him to the temple, as been prescribed at the end of Mary's purification, 40 days, so that he can be redeemed at the temple. That's what they do. They bring kids to the temple. They would hand the kid over. The person would say, who do you name this kid to be? And they would say the name, and it would be the redemption. And also, at the same time, there would be a sin offering made. Mary and Joseph were poor, so they made a sin offering of two birds, which is Leviticus 12. What's interesting, my wife was the one who pointed this out. Gosh, is she brilliant. She said, isn't it funny that they brought the two birds, but actually they brought the lamb. And so, doing a little digging there, what I really loved was that to buy two birds cost 5 shekels. So they paid 5 shekels to redeem their son at the temple, who would then by his blood redeem the entire world, which is just mind blowing if you think about that. So we have this passage, and what Simeon and Anna are doing throughout their lives is they're waiting. The Holy Spirit's upon Simeon and leads him to the temple. They're waiting on the coming of Messiah. In fact, Holy Spirit told Simeon that you won't die until you see the Messiah, until you actually see him with your eyes. And it says that Anna wouldn't depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and praying every single day there, waiting on the Messiah to come. They're waiting on this appearance of him to come. Now, we get wooed into this kind of crazy place because what we do is we get 9-pound, 8-ounces baby Jesus, and we go, oh, he's so cute. Look at the little baby, you know, and then we almost even maybe in our minds, I mean, do you ever do that when you see a little baby and immediately you drop like 14 grade levels? You know, all of a sudden you're like, hi, baby, hi. You know, instead of going like, hello, baby. You know, and suddenly our whole perception of everything just kind of falls apart. And so what we do is we get wooed by that. We see baby Jesus and we go, oh, baby Jesus, oh, goo, 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 baby Jesus. And what we don't realize is what Simeon and Anna were waiting for and they received in the temple is the same thing that we're now waiting for and will receive, and that is God who is coming to make war. That baby Jesus might have looked like little 9-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. I like to make him a big baby. 9-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. But what it really was God in the flesh who came to make war against sin and death. All of hell was trembling at what was going to happen because we know later in the Bible it's the demons who know exactly who Jesus is. Have you come to destroy us, Jesus, you Son of God? I mean, they know exactly who he is. So, you know, while we sing on like Christmas Eve, we have Silent Night, Holy Night. That night was anything but silent from heaven's perspective. That was a thunderclap of redemption as God was striking the ground and saying, I'm sending my Son who's going to redeem these people. He's going to redeem the world. He's going to put sin and death in its place. I mean, this was a battle cry. And so taking that then, and move forward. I mean, because we see baby Jesus, oh, baby Jesus. And then we see Revelation Jesus who comes out of the clouds, and we're like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be anywhere near that. That Jesus got a sword in his mouth, and, you know, he's angry. He's coming. The brother's coming to make war. Now, it's the exact same Jesus. It's the exact same Jesus. It's just over here, you see he has a sword in his mouth. Over here, you see he's all grown up, and he's, you know, I like to think he's well-muscled, but he's coming down on a white stallion. I mean, over here, you see a Jesus who's clearly coming to redeem by power and force, and over here you get so wooed into a place of complacency and apathy because it's just a baby. And for us, babies can't do anything. We have to change their diapers. We have to feed them. We have to do all those things. But that didn't change anything that Jesus came to do in that moment. I mean, Jesus came to make war. I mean, absolutely make war. And what I love is that you can't separate the two. And Simeon doesn't do it. And that's what's fascinating to me is Simeon doesn't do it. Simeon doesn't take Jesus into his hands and doesn't go like, oh, gosh, he's a cute baby. You guys really cute, babe. Hey, Jesus. He doesn't do any of that. What does he say immediately? My eyes have seen your salvation. And then he says, he will cause the rising and falling of nations. Right away, what Simeon does is he makes sure that we understand that the incarnation is intimately, divinely, and powerfully wrapped up in the cross. Right there in that moment, Simeon doesn't divide the two. We divide the two. That the expanse between Christmas and Easter for us is so big that we've lost that Jesus at the cross is Jesus in the incarnation. Came to do the exact same thing. Fully God and fully man. Came to do those exact same things. I love how Isaiah says that he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. But it says on there that the nations will be upon his shoulders. And I was reading one commentator, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, and Spurgeon said the reason that verse says that is because only his shoulders are equipped to bear the weight that God will place upon them. Only his shoulders, which makes me think of all those images we see later where Jesus is carrying the cross. Only his shoulders were able to bear the weight of that cross as he carried it to Golgotha and ultimately to the crucifixion, which would then lead to the resurrection. And so this Jesus that we see in the manger is the Jesus that we see coming out of the clouds. And so then, shouldn't we be that much more driven towards the Lord for his coming and his appearance as Simeon and Anna were? Because Simeon and Anna, it's God's picture of the best of the Old Covenant, the best of the Old Covenant who were embedded deeply in understanding all the law and the prophets and the things that God was going to do through the Old Testament, but open to the new thing that God was going to do. Remember Isaiah says, see, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up and you don't perceive it. Well, Simeon and Anna perceived it. They saw it. They knew they were the remnant, the holy remnant who was set aside, ready to receive the Savior. But I'm asking, who right now is the remnant? Who right now is the the one who's ready to receive the Holy Savior, because like Simeon and Anna, yet we have more than that. We've seen the cross. We have witnessed the resurrection. We have heard and read and have testimony to the ascension. We have seen and read about the Holy Spirit falling upon men and women and radically and drastically changing them with the power of the gospel. And so then how much more than Simeon and Anna, who didn't leave the temple, who waited, watched, prayed, and worshiped and fasted and sought the Lord, how much more than should we for his next appearance? Because it's coming. It's a day sooner than it was yesterday. The Bible doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. But all we do know is a day sooner, we're a day closer.
And you were talking about delighting. They were delighting themselves in the Lord.
Totally.
And you were saying a practice that you challenged us takes about 21 days. And I was thinking, you also said by about the eighth day, which would be tomorrow, many people would have already broken their maybe New Year's resolutions. But what can people, maybe in our closing couple minutes, what advice would you have for people over the next, say, 21 days or to create a habit of drawing close to the Lord?
Don't do something you don't think you can't do. Don't do something you don't think you can't do, but take yourself right up to the edge of what you think you can't do. So, you know, don't go, well, I'm going to read 10 chapters of the Bible a day, because you haven't read one chapter in the last, I don't know how many years. So how do you think now you can drastically, radically read 10? But maybe say, you know, I'm going to try and read a half of a chapter. I'm going to try and read a chapter. I'm going to pick up a Bible reading plan and begin to feast on God's Word instead of maybe feast on a meal or feast on TV or the Internet or whatever it is. But make it a step that you know you can take. But make sure it's a step that when you minus this thing from your life, you replace it with the Lord, that He becomes what you're going to feast on in that moment, whether it's with your eyes or your ears or your mouth or your stomach or whatever it is. Make sure that it's Him that you're going to feast on. Because look at, granted, maybe your resolution, you know, you were, and it takes about 21 days to create a habit. So you're saying, you know, my resolution, I want to lose weight. And so, you know, if I can just get through these 21 days, you know, maybe then I have a real shot at a weight loss plan that'll actually sustain itself. Well, what if over 21 days you built a habit that placed you in the position of delighting in the Lord? You created a habit inside of you that ultimately you just wanted to delight in the Lord. I mean, I can't imagine a better habit to have. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that. And I've read tons of books where they talk about these kinds of things. They say, you know, create a habit of praise. Create a habit of thanking God. Your life changes exponentially when you under... Nothing can create gratitude and nothing can well up inside of you a deep kind of joy other than knowing how you were saved. And so when you realize what Christ has done on your behalf, when you turn towards Him and when you seek after Him, when you delight in Him, you'll receive a joy and a peace that's not possible anywhere else, because it's found in Him, because He's the author of these things. Perfect peace is not found anywhere but in Christ, because the Bible tells us He authored that. And perfect joy is not from anywhere else but Him. Perfect love is not. He's the author of love, because He first loved us. And so all the things that will make your life better, He authored. And so wouldn't you want to go to the author? I mean, we're a culture of experts. We love to go to an expert. So if you want to go to an expert, you want to go to the author, why don't you go to the author of all things, the King of all things, Jesus Christ?
And the fact that He's overcome everything, and I like how you mentioned that or divided that or shared or expanded on it, the fact that we can't overcome anything in our own strength. We can falter and fall short. We really need to lean heavily into Him and already accept what He's done on our behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, wait, let me help you out here. Here we go.
Some crowd noise. He's got his... Hey, we're into the new year, everyone.
Thank you.
We're into the new year, everyone. 2015. Jason's got his cell phone with all sorts of, like, new apps or new... I don't know what it is. Oh, jeez. We're in for a new year ahead of us, I guess, huh? Oh, hey, I should point out, for those of you, even if you're hearing the re-airing tonight, the Singing Men of GNN sing the national anthem at the U of I versus Maryland basketball game, 8 p.m. at the Assembly Hall. And I think if you go to vividseats.com, I was able to secure some tickets for $4 the other day. So vividseats.com, you could probably get some good deals. I think you can even print them at home and come on out to the U of I basketball game. Be seated by 8 p.m. p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will kick off singing the national anthem, and it'll be
That's perfect, because right now they got about 7 minutes to get there.
Yeah, for the re-airing.
Yeah, so. For the re-airing, you got about 7 minutes, so get moving.
Yeah, get going. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.